You are listening in to ABC Central West this morning. Alex James with you as you're heading into the day. Have you got a new puppy in your life? Or maybe you're thinking of getting one. There are many steps, I guess, you have to take in getting a new puppy and then looking after the new puppy. It's not as easy as maybe Hollywood might suggest. Dr. Natasha Wannan is with us from Orange Vet Hospital. Dr. Wannan, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my absolute pleasure, Alex. Thanks
for
having me.
So, when you get a new puppy, are there things that you should do before you get a new puppy?
Oh, I suppose, yeah, there would be things that you want to do before you get a new puppy. You know, thinking about where the puppy's going to sleep, if you're going to crate train it, have you got food, you know, collars, leads, all of those things. Is your house set up to have a puppy? Is your yard secure for a puppy? So, yeah, look, there are lots of, I guess, pre-thinking about things. Are you in a financial position to have a puppy? They are a financial burden. We don't always like to talk about the money side of things, but they do. Ongoing cost of food, general health care. Yeah, there's a financial aspect to that as well. But yeah, wanting to make sure that your life is set up for one too. Have you got the time to be, you know, playing with the puppy, making time to, I mean, once it's fully vaccinated, walk it and giving it the attention and care that it's going to need in your day-to-day life. And that will change as it ages as well.
I mean, I guess it's like planning for getting anything, right? You need to do the planning part because getting a new puppy is not an easy thing, is it?
No. And they're a part of your life, you know, potentially for the next 15 to 18 years, if you're fortunate enough to have a pet that lives that long. And most of the time I would have said at least 10, unless for unforeseen circumstances, things change. And that's a big commitment. A lot of people have pets that, you know, they had before their kids and then their kids are 10 and 12 and, you know, they've had that pet for a long time. It's a big part of your life, but they can be incredibly, incredibly enriching to your lives as well and add meaning and value, but that's not without time and commitment and love and, you know, having a environment that supports that.
So we have the new puppy. We've done all the things. We've made sure that we've got the leads and the yard is secure. What now?
Vaccinations. That would be the number one thing. So you're wanting your puppy needs to have 3 vaccinations, ideally. And your puppy's not going to be fully covered against things like parvovirus until 2 weeks after its 3rd puppy vaccination.
Oh, okay.
And parvovirus is the big one that we get stressed about. It's the one that lives in the environment for years and years. And we do see it in Orange. So it is around. So really important that you're not taking your puppy out for walks down the street or in the dog parks until it's fully vaccinated. The other big health thing that we like for our puppies is worming. Worm your puppy, worm your puppy. You cannot overworm your puppy.
Okay, really? Why?
They don't have the body weight and the mass and the reserve that our adult dogs do. So, you know, an adult dog can have worms and we should still worm them. I'm not saying not to worm your adult dog, but they tend to have the capacity that we don't often see worm burden issues in our older pets. But puppies, it's not the case. They just don't have.
Really?
So they're more likely, you know, they might be ill-thrifty. They could have diarrhea. In some situations, they can be anemic. So ideally worming that puppy every 2 weeks until it's 12 weeks, then monthly until it's 6 months, and then go to a standard three-monthly worming schedule. And I usually suggest to people to do that with the change of season. So first day of spring, worm your dogs. First day of winter, worm the dogs, and it's just a nice little reminder.
Oh, that's an easy reminder, actually.
Yeah. And then another big aspect of having a puppy is its diet. What are you feeding it? Everybody's got opinions on feeding and foods. A puppy dry biscuit is a complete food. It's all they need. You can obviously feed your puppy other things. That's not a problem. And in some ways, it's beneficial to feed them other things. You know, get them used to different textures, wet food, gravy ones, and, you know, loaf, chicken, you know, bits and pieces. It's good to expose them to different things, especially when they're young. But a puppy dry biscuit should be their staple. It should be most of what they eat because it's a complete food.
Oh, okay. Rather than, you know, cooking it chicken and broccoli or something.
Yeah. And look, I'm definitely not dismissing home diets. They've definitely, people love them and they've got their place. But
for a puppy,
I think when we know that it's,
meal.
You know, nutritionally balanced. It's got everything in it that they need. You do tend to get what you pay for with dry biscuits. Yeah. So, you know, there are some really cheap ones out there, and, like, you know, they're still going to be, they still should be nutritionally balanced, but they do tend to have a lot more fillers and rubbish in them. Your dog will do more poos. Whereas if you buy that, you know, the more expensive, the premium one, they do tend to be better quality.
But there is, from a veterinary perspective, there is reason to buy puppy food, specific puppy biscuits.
I guess, in my opinion, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Right. I like the puppy biscuits, because then I know that puppy's getting everything it needs, and I don't have to be worried about its bones or its growth or anything else.
Okay.
Larger, probably more important for our larger puppies, like your giant breeds, you know, your Wolfhounds and your Great Danes and things, because they're growing so quickly. Mm. Just making sure that they're eating a diet that's nicely balanced with calcium and all of those things for their bone and muscle development.
Is there a rule around socializing? When can you socialize with your puppy?
That is a really great question. So, socializing is a really, really important aspect of puppies. Ideally before sort of 4 months of age, which is hard because your puppy's not fully vaccinated until probably 14 weeks. So, you know, if we're wanting to get it before 4 months, that's tricky.
Yeah.
I don't have no issues with puppies, you know, partially vaccinated puppies mixing with other healthy, fully vaccinated dogs. I think that's fine.
Yep.
Puppy preschool is a really great way to get in some socialization, and learning about your puppy and what sort of training and care it's going to need, and teaching you how to train your puppy, especially if you haven't had a dog before. I think it's really, really useful. And every time I happen to, like, listen to part of a class, I, like, find myself going, oh yeah, that's how you do that again. Yeah, right. So I always tend to get, you know, a few little nuggets of knowledge, or, you know, memory, like, reminding me of something that I might have forgotten to talk about in a puppy consult for a bit. So definitely useful puppy preschool, and a great way. Then they're mixing with puppies as well, because sometimes obviously there can be a size disparity between a puppy and an adult dog, which can create problems in itself. But and wanting, I guess, again, the safety aspect, that socialization, you know, are those two dogs going to get on? So sometimes having, like, a fence with holes in it that they can mix through before putting them in together can be a useful way of introducing them to each other.
And you mentioned this briefly. I just wanted to come back to it. If you're going to crate train your dog, it needs to be done from when it's young.
Oh, look, you can crate train an older dog, but it's going to be more challenging.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got some handy crate training resources that we can usually find for you at the clinic. But it's a really... I personally like crate training, and I suppose it's, again, an opinion-based thing. I just think it's, like, that crate is their safety zone. You know, if they're
hearing that more and more, actually,
like, you know, it's, you've got visitors and they're feeling a bit stressed, they can go into that crate, and that's their safe space, and they can feel, you know, comfortable if they're feeling stressed or anxious. Like, it is, yeah, I think it really has a useful place. It's a place that you can put them safely while you're away or not there, potentially. Yeah, you can often put them to bed in there overnight, and then you know that they're nice and safe. Like, it's, yeah.
There's lots of positives for it.
Lots of positives.
Natasha, it's always a pleasure to have you in. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Alex.
There you go. That's just a couple of things you can keep in mind if you are about to have a new puppy, or if you've currently got a new puppy. Dr. Natasha Wannan there from Orange Vet Hospital. You are listening in to ABC Central West. Alex James with you as we're heading into the day.